This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 312 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, and you'll be able to find him at the digital show over the weekend, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
It wasn't man flu.
It was avoiding responsibility flu.
It was Montezuma's revenge.
Oh, is that what it was? For those who don't know, Montezuma's is a chain of Mexican restaurants in Australia.
Is it?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Oh, so that was not what you were referring to.
Well, okay. Montezuma's Revenge may be a chain of restaurants in New South Wales, but
right, okay.
No, it's a well-known. It's a thing. If you go to Mexico, you can get a bad stomach. It's called Montezuma. It's like Barley Belly.
Oh, okay.
All these other sort of names, right. Locations. Yeah, yeah. Was it Delhi? Delhi Belly. That's it. Okay. Yeah. Like Barley Belly, I guess.
Yeah.
It's better than Delhi diarrhea, I guess. Right. But you get the idea.
Yes. Okay.
On the let's put it this way, if I'd been Russian, my name would have been Trotsky.
Right. Right. TMI.
So I apologize for last week, the pained listeners' response of, oh yeah, I've got a week free. No, I mean, oh no, what am I gonna do now? It was kind of nice. It made us feel a little bit special. Not
just
a lot,
just a little bit, a little bit. So you're better now.
Yeah, so I've been flat out today and most of this week getting organised for the digital show, which, yes, I will be there all weekend, but it seems this doesn't come out till Sunday afternoon.
That's right, it'll all be over.
A bit too late, yeah. But I've been sold out for weeks and weeks and weeks anyway. So.
Cool.
And as I said on Facebook today, funny, I've been sold out. I sold out a long time ago.
Nice.
Oh, dear. It's not completely true. I have some morals, yeah. Won't use. No, I don't have any. I don't have any morals. I did a photograph of the show being set up today, and happened to have an Olympus stand in it. So someone comments on Facebook, do I see an Olympus sponsorship coming up? No, it'd be nice. Is anyone out there from Olympus Land?
Why would you want Olympus?
Olympus is awesome stuff.
Oh, okay. I thought you were a cannon shooter through and through.
I've never been a cannon shooter through and through.
Oh, okay.
I've never been linked to any brand. I happen to shoot them, but I don't really give a rat's patootie.
Right.
I don't care. Canon, Nikon. Really, I'd use Sony. I'd love the Sony stuff too.
Right.
I don't really care. You know, it's like I don't care about the saucepan, just what you put in it.
Yeah, fair enough. What you get out of it.
Well, at the end of the day, hopefully, it's even better if someone else puts something in it and you get to take it out. I love it when someone else cooks.
Yes, yes.
So how's your week been, my friend?
Still crazy busy with this movie mix.
Really?
Yeah.
How long does the movie go for?
7.5 minutes.
You're still going?
Yes.
How many minutes are you in?
I wasn't kidding when I said there will be 100 hours of work on this.
And how many minutes are you in now?
Well, it's not so much about how many minutes through it I am. I mean, I've worked all the way through it. But
finished.
There are so many aspects to it, you know, and it's...
Like MP4, FLAC, file, all different file types.
Well, it's different mixes. Different mixes. Just getting the mixes the way Chad wants it. Yeah, that's right. Yes, the extended remix. Yes.
The Doof Doof mix.
Yeah, that's it. The EDM mix, yeah. So we will be mixing it in 5.1, but at the moment I'm still working on the stereo mix.
You're going to go up to 7.1. Is it like 9.1 now?
Oh, mate, there's Dolby Atmos, which is 64 channel.
There you go.
But I'm not going there. No. I, to be honest, I don't understand why Dolby Atmos even exists. I cannot understand why 64-bit would, 64 channels would be necessary. I can understand.
Just better than 32?
Well, yeah, I guess that's the theory, but it's... strikes me that there's got to be a point at which adding more speakers just is, you know, what's the law about, diminishing returns, you know?
Yes.
It strikes me that at some point the law of diminishing returns has to kick in. And
but surely it's the megapixel race, though, isn't it? Yeah, I've got more channels than you got.
I don't know. I mean, yes, there's 7.1, there's 9.1, there's 10.2. There's a whole bunch of different surround formats. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll get there.
Oh, it's just a good idea.
But I'm having fun with it, and that's the main thing.
I have a little problem with my presentation for the weekend at the show.
Right.
In that, as in my talk on for the classes, yeah. In that it's a 4K TV.
Oh, right? Wow. Yeah.
Which is awesome, except I can't output 4K from my laptop.
What sort of presentation? Like a PowerPoint type of thing?
Yeah, the keynote.
Yeah, right.
And so all my photos look like the 640 by 480 res.
Oh, no.
They're crappy. But what's even worse, even all like the icons of when my desktop's mirrored onto the TV, all the desktop icons are really really blurry and sort of almost like doubled up.
Hang on. Is anyone else using the TV or is it just you using it for the weekend?
Just me.
Okay. So surely you can go into the settings for the TV and tell it you only want 1920 by 1080.
Well, I couldn't find it. I had to go through 55 screens when I turned the TV. It's the first time TV had been turned on. Through user agreements and all this stuff it wanted to set up just to turn the damn thing on.
Yeah, right.
There's no instruction manual. I couldn't find any way to get access to the settings. I could get into like picture styles and change the picture colour.
Yeah, right.
But the biggest problem was the backdrop of my computer screen. It doesn't matter what image I put up there, it doesn't matter how good it looked blurry, right? So I just found an actual image that I meant to be blurry and put that on the back of the screen. It's problem solved. It's meant to look blurry. Now it's going to look cool because it's going to be even blurrier.
That's right.
So it's just going to find unique ways of solving these problems.
That's it.
So all my presentation, thankfully it's only about a 5-minute presentation. It looks pretty ordinary.
Pretty, that's a shame.
I know. What you should do is
race around all the distributors first thing in the morning, like all the other stands first thing in the morning, and find someone who's got a 1920 by 1080 display and go, hey, do you want a 4K display for the weekend?
You want swapsies?
Yeah.
I like it.
There's bound to be someone who'd welcome the 4K screen.
Can I tell you a funny story that happened last week?
Yeah.
I got a new phone.
Oh, okay.
But here's the thing.
Right.
It was the end of school holidays. I finally got rid of the kids. Yeah. I've been looking at phones the week before because my contract was up. It was time to renew. The other one wasn't ringing anymore.
Right.
It wouldn't bing when messages came in. It wouldn't ring when people called. So I was missing a lot of stuff. So it was time to get something done. I've been trying to do something with the kids too hard. Mm. So I dropped the kids off at school. I was dead tired because I got off the plane from Vietnam, straight into school holidays. I was knackered.
Yeah.
So I finally dumped the kids at school. I said, oh, before I go home and fall asleep, I'll just pop in the store. I sort of got my mind, I knew which way I wanted to go. And so I went into the Optus and I wanted the 6S Plus new iPhone.
Yeah.
The really big one. Yeah, the big.
Right.
Only because I wanted really big because the battery was significantly better than the other one.
Right.
Battery is always my biggest problem. So I went in there and they said, oh, which one do you want? And I'd done all the paperwork, done it, filled it all in, thinking, which one is it you wanted? I said, the 128 gig space gray. Oh, and they've got this, they pulled out this sheet that Optus has sent out. Do not order. All the 128s, all the 64s, all struck out in red. Don't order.
What?
Because it has no stock.
Oh.
And I said, oh, well, how long is it going to take? They said, well, we've been advised 2 to 3 months.
What?
Oh, well, I'm not in any awful hurry. There's no problem. As long as I can still get the same deal because there was a deal for bringing your ABN, your business number in.
Yep.
So I said, no, as long as I get the same deal. So I said, no worries. Thanked the guys. They're really lovely people. Got home, fell asleep on the couch.
Right.
And the phone rings.
Yeah.
Hello, sort of thing. And they're going, hi, Glenn, it's Ken here from the Optus store. Yeah. I've got, what? I've been asleep 2 months. I was so confused and so wiped out.
Yeah.
What's happened? I'm, we've got your phone. I'm going, but I don't understand. And so within 2 hours of my 2 month time lapse have gone.
Wow.
I got me a new phone. And I've got to say, it's cracking.
Awesome.
I haven't actually taken any proper photos with it yet, but
right.
I'm loving it. And it feels huge in the hand.
So where did they find it?
Oh, that stock arrived. It just arrived. They had no idea. Nothing was expected. It just came in.
How bizarre. Anyway, so it feels large in the hand.
It's a massive phone.
Yeah, especially it'll be like the Samsung Galaxy Note, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it's bigger. Yeah. Right. And so I've gone from this small phone to this big thing. And, you know, within 2 hours, I picked up the other one. And I've gone, how did I ever use this?
Yeah.
I could hardly even see the icons on the damn thing.
Yep.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, how quickly we get used to these bigger phones. So now I look like one of those people were taking photos with their iPads. It's like, no, it's a phone. It's not an iPad. I'm not shooting with an iPad. Yeah. because it's a big phone.
Yeah.
I've got some other news.
Yeah.
And a disposable camera.
Oh, yeah.
It's developed and scanned.
Awesome.
I've just got to get back to the store to pick it up.
Cool.
Getting there.
Cool.
It's just this afternoon saying it's ready.
Nice.
Yeah, I popped it in about 12 o'clock, so they're pretty fast. They're pretty fast.
What? You dropped it in at midday? Hello?
Hello?
You dropped it in when?
Midday.
And it was ready this afternoon.
I thought I'd better get it in before the podcast.
Oh, dear.
Legally, I ran through streets, everything. Just to get this damn thing. It's ready to pick up, so hopefully sometime next week I'll get down there and I'll get it.
Oh, cool.
So it's all good.
So what happens now? You'll do the blurb book?
So what's going to happen? I'll get it in a couple of weeks. I'll go and pick it up in maybe a month. And then I'll upload it to a photo book site like Blurb or something like that. Yep. I'll do the layout. It's photos in orders by page, so one photo a page, mm-hmm. bang, 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 bang. Get the
picture. I'm submitting books to photobookshop.com.au.
So what are you saying to me?
Well, if you are struggling to find the time, just send it up to me and I'll put it together into a photo book and I'll send it off. I don't mind. If you want to do it, that's fine.
We'll see how we go.
I'm just saying, the offer's there if you've swamped.
Thanks, dude. No worries. You're a lovely guy. I take back half of what I was saying about you last week when I was sick.
Oh, dear.
I'm hoping to get my new Tamron lenses tomorrow. My new 45, my 45 and 35.
No, those old chestnuts.
they've only just arrived in Australia.
Well, these were like 1.8 and F2 or something?
Yeah, 1.8, both of them.
Oh, 1.8.
The first one's with VC.
Right.
Vibration compensation or whatever it is they call it. So I'll be one of the first people having them, which is really nice. It's kind of fun to... I'm going to use them for the shoots this weekend, so we'll see what they're like.
Nice.
I picked up all my Godox goodies the other day.
I saw that.
Flash stuff, which is awesome, and the brilliant and awesome David Honnell posted on Facebook saying, "I use the same battery packs,
right?
And I've got the USB charger to charge my phone." And I thought, "Well, you had me at hello, Mister. That is just
say again a USB charger.
A USB adapter that plugs into the battery pack and charges USB devices.
Oh wow!
So you can charge the phone whilst you're out in the shoots.
Oh nice.
No." And so you can, and because it's a two, each battery's got two outputs. So you can shoot in a flash with one and charging your phone with the other one.
That's cool.
Loving that.
Yeah.
So that just made the Godox stuff even more better.
Yeah, right.
But it seems awesome. I got to tell you, it's as cheap as chips. This $95 trigger they've got, I've got no idea. And this is retail, $95.
Yeah.
I've got no idea how they can make it to sell for that price.
Now, I did want to ask you, because this is like any of the good commander systems, it allows you to control the output of the flash remotely.
Yeah, multiple flashes remotely. Yeah, up to five.
Right. So what sort of flashes do you have to be using for it to do that?
Well, if you have Canon flashes, the Canon, the ones that have got the built-in radio transmitters, so the RT models,
it lets you
control the Canon RT flashes.
Right.
But also their own Godox ones.
Right.
But the Canon RT one's like $700.
Yeah.
Yep. The Godox one's under 200.
Yeah, right.
It's a knockoff.
Wow.
So it's really, really, and the build quality is fabulous. I said, I'm sure I'm going to have trouble killing them.
I don't think so.
Flashes are pretty robustly built usually. Like the brand name, like the Canons, Nikons, they've got a good build quality. And I've used other no-name ones before, and they tend to not be so well built.
Yep.
But this one has the same feel of build quality. So I'm sure it's going to take a few knocks before I'm sure I'll get it wet at some point and that'll kill it. But for that, once again, for that sort of price, it's not bad, you know?
Mm.
So, I mean, you could pick up the big massive battery pack, which does like 1200 charges and recharges your full power flash in 1 second instead of 8 seconds.
Wow.
That, the trigger and the flash for under $500 retail.
That's awesome.
Which is a couple hundred bucks still cheaper than just buying the flash by itself and the brand name.
Yeah.
So it's damn good.
I'll be keen to hear a report next week.
Yeah, well, I met them at the show today because they're actually exhibiting at the show. So I met them. But, they don't speak a lot of English, so it's not the easiest conversation to have.
Yep.
But yes, I'll be shooting with them all the weekend and see if I can blow them up.
Cool.
Should be good.
Well, we should get on to our stories.
Yeah, why not? We can keep chatting. And mate Malcolm Fackender.
Yeah.
Fackender, we can say that because he's not here. He's just hit Iceland and been taking some phenomenal photos.
Oh. So he didn't come home after Vietnam.
Yeah, he's home for 3 days.
Right. Lazy bugger.
Yeah, I know. It's 2 weeks, then he's up to the deserts in South America.
What? When?
He gets home from Iceland. He's home for like 2 weeks, and he goes off for that, or 1 week.
Oh,
and off.
Wow.
Oh.
Okay. Wow.
Cool. He's been getting some phenomenal Northern Lights shots.
Oh, really?
Some
jealous.
Cracking stuff though, not just like, oh, that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
There's some really nice stuff. So
cool.
You've got to be happy with that.
So I've told you in 2019 we're going to Alaska, haven't I?
No.
Yeah, that's our plan. We're planning on going to Alaska in 2019 to shoot the Northern Lights.
Why Alaska?
Just because everyone goes to Iceland.
Have you seen Iceland?
Sorry?
Have you seen Iceland?
Yeah.
I'd go there too. I've been to Alaska.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been to either, so I figure I'll go where least people go.
Well, yeah. You have to go there for fishing, so that's what I went to Alaska for.
You know my attitude towards fishing.
not so keen, is it?
No. Remember the Sony TV ad for the Trinitron TV where the guy was fishing in his boat and he had the Sony Trinitron TV in the boat with him, and on the TV was a picture of a lure, and then all the fish start jumping out of the lake into the boat trying to get the lure off the screen of the TV, and it was, you know, supposedly the image is so real that it confused the fish. Yeah, well, that's my idea of fishing. If they're jumping into the boat, that's great fishing. If they're not jumping into the boat, I'm not interested.
Yeah, well, you got to kind of work for it just a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Well, turning the TV on, that's work.
I'm sending you a link here. Is it? Click on that link for tick.
Okay.
That's the Mr. Fackender's.
Gorgeous.
Not so bad, eh? And it was all shaping up apparently last night to be even better, and then they downgraded the forecast, which is
Oh, no, hate that.
Just a bit disappointing, hey?
Yeah.
But
cool. I'm just quickly going to add that link into text file so that I remember to put it in the show notes.
Good move. So let's waffle on for a bit.
Yeah. So what did I come across this week? I came across a story on F-Stoppers about the inventor of the modern image sensor.
Yes, I saw that one.
Announced a breakthrough for low light photography.
Yeah, it's called a torch.
Now, I did read some of this, and I should have taken note of the bits that I wanted to talk about, because now I haven't done that, and now I can't remember what it was. But
my brain died just looking at the heading, so I didn't even bother with it. Something about being able to pick up each individual photon or something.
Yeah, something like that.
A billion pixel sensor or some crud like that.
Oh, was it? I don't remember seeing that. But maybe, I don't know, maybe you saw a different story.
Maybe I'm just, I saw something.
Anyway, the link will be in the show notes. There was something about it that grabbed my attention. Obviously didn't grab it hard enough. Through the week, Sony announced that they are going to spin off their sensor division to a separate company. From their camera development division, which I don't know. I'm kind of in mixed minds about that. Like, from a Sony camera user point of view, does this mean that Sony's camera division will be less advantaged because
it's called reduced exposure?
Okay, in what sense?
Being that if the camera company starts losing shite loads of money, but the sensor company's still making shite loads, one doesn't drag the other one down.
Right. Okay.
So it's like a lot of the companies have done that. They separated their medical divisions from their photo divisions. And Nikon did something.
Konica Minolta did that.
Yeah, and Nikon did something recently where they changed one part of the division to reduce exposure to cameras.
Right.
So it's possibly along the same sort of lines.
Yeah.
So
it's Sony Semiconductor Solutions Corporation will be the name of the new division.
SSCC, hey?
SSSC, yes.
Sony Semiconductor. Oh, Sony Solutions. Oh, stupid name. Should be just Sony Sensor or Sensitive Sony. I don't know. Yeah. We should have run a competition for new naming.
This week, DP Review or D Preview,
depending on you.
Would have it, yep. Announced all their winners in various categories for 2015. Yes. And there was some interesting stuff here. I will just quickly flick through. Best Zoom Compact Camera.
I thought you meant the photos and stuff.
No. They were announcing winners of different cameras in different categories for the year. So best compact camera went to the Sony Cybershot RX100 Mark IV. The mobile product of the year was the DxO1.
Yep. I've seen some photos, and it was only a fake that a friend of mine had taken with it and put onto Facebook. And I've asked him to send me the actual full files because they look pretty crappy on Facebook, but he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, right.
So,
Consumer stills camera and video camera of the year was the Panasonic Lumix DMC G7. Best consumer crop sensor was the Nikon D5500. Best high-end crop sensor was the Samsung NX1, which kind of surprised me. Best lens crop sensor was a Samsung 16-50mm f2-2.8. Best lens full frame was the Canon EF 11-24 f4 LUSM.
Yeah, it was
whatever
popular.
All that stuff rubbish means. Best full frame system camera was a joint winner between the Nikon D750 and the Sony
Cheech and Chong
A7R2. Wow.
It's a joint winner.
Yeah. It's not here. Innovation
not,
Award.
Not that I'd know.
Went to the Samsung NX1 and the product of the year.
Dum, dum, dum.
Sony A7R2.
Ta-da.
So there you go. So I haven't read the whole write-up. The contenders for product of the year were...
Oh, it's contenders. And the... It's supposed to sound like your best Oscars voice. And the nominees.
And the nominees.
Best product
for DP Review, product of the year.
Samsung NX1.
Yeah,
Canon EF 11-24 and the Sony Alpha 7R2. And the winner is... Now do it.
The Sony Alpha A7R2.
Do it.
But what's really interesting was that... Within those four potential winners was one lens and three cameras, which I thought was rather interesting.
Yeah, you're right. Well, who gets more excited about things, cameras or lenses? People tend to get more excited about cameras.
Yes, I know. But I just naturally assumed that the product of the year was going to be a camera, and I just... assumed that all of the contenders would be cameras. I was just...
You know what happens when you assume?
Yes.
Sometimes you get things wrong.
Yes. Anyway, the link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that out.
Well, I think we've already covered it quite
I think we have. But there might be people who want to read it all.
Extensive coverage.
Yeah, exactly. Carl sent us an email.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Lovely Carl.
Yes, he sent two emails. The first one said, "Hi guys, regarding ownership of photographs and getting a contract signed for school photography, I worked for a university for 20 years, manufacturing mechanical engineering students' fourth year projects for their degrees and post-degree courses. The students may have come up with a new idea for the research, but they decide at the start of their university career which university to go to and the rules that uni holds regarding educational / intellectual property. It was the same for me. I couldn't go off and manufacture a new whiz-bang idea on my own if one of the students had come up with the idea. I had to sign a document also. Once all the research work was completed, the university takes ownership of it. At the same time, I can understand Glyn's take on the subject in that the camera didn't come up with the creative idea, not unless they were using a smartphone camera." Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Here's the thing, though. This is obviously in relation to the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Is that this school's changing the rules now.
Right.
They're trying to retrograde, put it onto this guy saying no.
Yeah.
Which obviously, okay, if they want to come up with new rules, it's from here on out, not back in time.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, well, I guess it's interesting, but I mean, where is the incentive for anyone attending a university to share a really good idea, other than simply to graduate?
Well, I guess the incentive is that if you don't share that idea, what are you going to use to get through your course?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe you come up with it. Yeah, I mean, they're really. What's if I kept? This isn't the way my brain works. Hmm. If I was at uni, came out with an awesome idea, I'd quit.
Right.
Go off, and if necessary, wait 6 or 8 months so it appears that you know, this is something new, and then come up with the idea, because this could be the thing that sets you up for life. You know, it takes good idea these days to make you a billionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one good idea goes to the university and they reap all the money. Yeah.
Look at Zuckerberg and the Winklevi.
Exactly. Now, where did they invent that idea?
Harvard.
Exactly. So what if Harvard had the idea, same thing, if you come up with an idea whilst you're part of, he was studying computers, or the people who worked was studying computers at Harvard.
Hmm.
Doesn't Harvard own Facebook?
No.
Why not?
Because Harvard is of the opinion that you are there to develop your creativity. You haven't watched the Aaron Sorkin movie, have you? The Social Network.
It's a movie, is it?
Yeah, The Social Network. It's actually quite a good movie, believe it or not. I had reservations about it before I saw it, but after I'd seen it, I thought,
yeah, reservations to see a movie.
No.
Yes, I'd like the third row.
About the potential of the movie.
Oh.
Anyway, moving on. Carl then sent us another one. Hey guys, these mobile Adobe apps are getting pretty powerful. Got a model that didn't smile? Check out the smiley liquify button at 16 minutes 40. Take a look at the video on YouTube. So there'll be a link there if anyone
wants to
check.
There's all sorts of those apps already. Identifies and get rid of the flappy bits under your arms. Yeah. And
but this one, this is pretty cool. This was, I think it was a version of Lightroom for tablets. And it basically automatically recognizes faces and, you know, pinpoints where the eyes...
How can it recognize a face?
Hey?
How can it recognize a face? How do computers recognize... They're not people. They're not real.
No, they're not.
So strange.
There you go.
Don't understand this technology.
Wonders of computer science.
These damn cameras that have smile triggers, that the camera won't fire until the person's smiling. It's like... Or it triggers automatically.
That would never work for you, because you never let your model smile.
I force them not to, though.
Yeah, I know. Now, Reg pointed us to an article on F-stoppers, which was pointed to a Kickstarter project called PackPod.
Really?
Yeah. This is a fantastic-looking piece of gear. It's a small tripod designed by a guy who was a mechanical engineer anyway, so he kind of had a good head start in designing this. And he basically said he was frustrated at not being able to find a tripod on the market that would do what he wanted it to do. And so he developed this thing called the PackPod, and it's amazing. It has one single screw type adapter on what we would normally consider as the base plate of the tripod.
Yeah.
And that locks all three legs into place simultaneously at whatever angle and extension you've currently got the legs pointed.
Well, that's clever.
It is very clever. And then he's got a range of attachments, like different types of feet, to go on the three ends of the tripod so that you can, you know, wedge it into rocks or hang it off trees or, you know, wrap it around wire fences or whatever, wherever you want to stick this thing, it will stick and stick really well. And the video shows some amazing torture tests. You know, they strap it to the bottom of a canoe while they're paddling down a river and stuff like that. It's really cool.
But it doesn't go very high, though.
No, it doesn't appear to go very high. But as he does say in the video, he's basically done a very limited production run of the PackPod just as a proof of concept. Now, the reason for the Kickstarter project is that he wants to get enough funding to do a decent-sized production run to actually get it out to the market, and that he has other ideas that he wants to, you know, bring into, you know, presumably what will be the second generation of the product. So, you know, maybe like GorillaPod, there will be different sizes available in time. But it's a pretty nifty looking product. So
it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything he's showing is holding very small devices too.
Yes.
you know, GoPros, iPhones, sort
but,
of stuff.
But like I said, once you've got the design in place to build a bigger version that can hold a heavier load, isn't that?
So I wasn't listening to anything you were saying in between.
Clearly not.
Is he going to make bigger ones, is he?
I'm saying that he possibly will down the track.
Yes. I was just looking at the Kickstarter thing. He's already well over his...
Is he?
He's 37,000 of his 27,000 goal. Nice. With 21 days to go.
Nice.
So $79 will get you a pack pod and steaks.
And that's pretty good. And you know what I really liked?
What do you like?
On the inside of the legs... I don't know if they're Allen keys, but some sort of little wrench tool that is used to change the feet. It's permanently attached to the inside of one of the legs.
Mm.
So it's not like you're ever going to not have the tool with you because the tool is part of the pack pod, which I thought was very clever.
Very clever.
Yeah. Another thing that Reg sent us was the snafu from Adobe regarding Lightroom 6.2.
Yes, apparently wasn't particularly pleased about that.
Not a particularly effective deployment, apparently. Some people are citing the import process as 600% slower than competing products. So I don't
know. Yeah, but what was it before? Was it as fast as competing products?
Are you saying it was 580% slower before and it's only dropped?
Just maintain the status quo.
So the interesting thing is, if I understand this correctly, this only refers to the boxed version of the product. This does not relate to CC. It's just the boxed version of Lightroom 6.
Well, that's why it takes longer to download. You've got to unbox the thing.
You've got to wait for the mailman to deliver
the box. You've got to install. It takes time.
So anyway, again, that link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to read up on that. But I think, you know, I think most of us are using CC these days.
Yeah, you'd be mad not to.
Yeah, exactly. Steve Peters posted...
Yes, I was reading this earlier in the week and I was going to do something on Facebook about it and then I thought...
This is about B&H, the big camera store in New York, facing unwanted exposure over worker safety. I skimmed through it. I didn't read the whole article, but it seems like B&H have quite a history of being less than stellar in their employee relations department, abuse of staff and lack of safety training. One guy, you know, fell off a forklift that he'd been told to operate, but he hadn't been given any training, hadn't been given a hard hat, ended up hurting his back and all this
stuff. I thought the hard hat would have helped his back. If he'd landed on it, that'd be worse. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're probably doing safety by not putting in the hard hat. Here's the thing, once again, this is mostly to Australian listeners. This is what I was going to put on Facebook. Think about, everyone bleats about Australia being expensive. Oh, I can get it from B&H cheaper. Well, A, look at the people you've got to deal with.
Yep.
B, everyone in Australia gets great working conditions.
Yep.
They get great health systems.
Yeah, we generally have pretty good OH&S here.
High wages. Yeah, the staff get time and a half for working Saturday afternoons, double time for working Sundays, triple time for working public holidays when you all want to shop. Mm-hmm. That costs money. You know, the guy at the docks wants all that stuff. The guy delivering the trucks wants his safety. All this stuff is built into the cost of what we pay for in our country.
Yep.
Yeah. Look at what the average Australian income is.
Yep.
And what the price of a product is here in Australia. Then look at what the average income is for the country you want to buy from and how much it costs there. And do the math. If you live there earning that wage, how long does it take you to save versus living here and earning our wage? Australia's the cheapest place in the world to buy just about anything. Forget bleating about it costs more to buy iTunes here than it does. A song on iTunes, $1.69. The Americans are paying 99 cents. Yeah, but we earn a lot more. Who cares? It balances out. Fair enough. Don't waste your life worrying about stuff like that. Support your country. And this goes for every country. If you live in America, support your country. Yeah. If you live in England, support your local retailer. Because you know what? You support the local guy down the street. Well, he employs someone who lives around the corner. Yeah. That person buys his veggies from the veggie shop. And it all comes back to us.
And,
you know?
And those guys will be the people who employ your kids when your kids are looking for a job.
I mean, I walked into a camera store and bought something. I actually paid money in a camera
store. What?
I know.
Were you feeling unwell?
Well, my mate wasn't there to give me mates rate discounts. So I had to pay full whack.
Right.
Yeah, $21.90.
What were you buying?
I was getting the film development scanned. I'm sure if my mate had been there, I would have got it for free. But, right. Listeners. But yeah, that's the interesting thing about B&H. It's an ongoing thing. It's like their fifth lawsuit or something. But I've got to tell you, I've met some of the guys who work and own B&H, and they're nice people.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, are they nice to everybody? I don't know.
No, I won't say that. Anyway, yeah. Last thing I've got was from Adam, who sent us a story, posted it on the wall of Facebook page, from Petapixel. This is how a war photographer transmitted photos from Afghanistan in 2008. It's a 14, or yeah, close enough to a 14-minute doco on Vimeo about how this New York Times war photographer, who's name was Tyler Hicks, got his photos out of the country and back to the US in 2008. I would imagine it was pretty basic stuff. I haven't watched the video, but so if you're into, you know, the whole war photojournalism stuff, that might be an interesting
thing. Or even just that mobile, how modern photojournalism's done anywhere. It's interesting stuff. So I saw a photojournalist not long ago, walking around with a special harness on, and it's got her iPad harnessed on the back on her back.
Right.
And as she's walking along, she's shooting, and the cameras are streaming the photos to her iPad straight away.
Wow.
Then she goes from there, she walks into this room, sat down at a table, starts writing the article. The phone's already on, the photos are already on her iPad. She's dragging the photos in, hits send, and the whole thing's gone.
Wow.
It's a 4G on her iPad, and it's a, it's a whole new world.
Yeah. So. It feels like everyone's just going to become a jack of all trades, and like specialization is going to become a thing of the past.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, on stuff, on some things, yes. Like where it's possible to merge something, photos and words, that sort of stuff, absolutely. When it comes to brain surgery, I'm thinking maybe not so much. I mean? If you're a specialist in a very intricate field, no. The qualifications, you need to have that. But you don't need a qualification to be a photographer.
Yeah.
Realistically, you don't need a qualification to be a journalist.
No.
I mean, people have them.
Yeah.
And it probably helps their career. But yes, to write, if you can string together words and take a moderately okay photo, you can be a photojournalist.
Yeah.
Ask any blogger out there.
Yeah.
So, anywhere where you don't really need specialist skills, I reckon, absolutely, it's all going to meld into some melting pot of who knows what. I've only got a couple of things.
Okay.
And I won't get to all the stuff because it's late and I'm tired and I've got work to do. But I came across this website the other day called kickended.com.
Right.
And it's all these sad, lonely Kickstarter projects that never got any funding whatsoever. On some of the stuff, there's one group, a couple, they wanted to go travel in Europe, but didn't really have enough money. They had enough money to fly there, but nothing else. So their project was basically, have you always wanted to travel, but don't have the time or the money to do it? Well, we'll do it for you. For $30, we'll print out a photo of you, and we'll tell you the cities we're going to. You tell us where you want to be. We'll take a photo of you in front of that thing. And for $30, you get like 10 photos.
Right.
And for like $50, and you can nominate where those 10 photos are shot.
What?
Funny enough, it didn't get funded. Another guy, and the weird thing is his Kickstarter project had like the Choose Marijuana as part of the slogan, the actual web address.
Right.
But he'd taken this photo of Barack Obama when he was electioneering in 2012.
That would be campaigning.
Looks like an iPhone shot.
Yeah.
And he says, well, I want lots of people to have this photo, so I'm going to print out in 18 by 24 and 24 by 36 sizes. It'll cost you $20 for the smaller one, $35 for the big one posted.
Was there anything particularly awesome about the photo?
Nothing remotely.
Right.
Funny enough, didn't get funded. It surprises you, I know. Another guy, he's got a quadcopter.
Right.
He wants to travel across America and take photos with it.
Right.
So if you fund him to travel across America, he'll send you a link to some of the photos.
A link?
And,
not even a hard copy.
He'll send you a photo. But he wants you to fund his holiday across America.
Oh, man.
And then there's other company who already have this app on the App Store where you can create your own emojis.
Right.
Yeah, emoticons.
Yeah.
And they want to get a Kickstarter project up to help promote their app
A what?
Yeah, so, but and they've got some ideas, like social media is one word they use. It's an idea. And maybe a spokesperson who could maybe talk about it.
Dear idea.
So get taken off for some reason. So, but I love it. If you want to go and look at some really sad, sad projects. And look, if you feel enough about it, you can maybe get in touch with the people and say, look, I know it didn't work. Can I have a laugh at your expense? That kind of stuff. There you go.
Dear.
Then I was reading this article on Petapixel about this guy who found an old tintype photo in a junk store for $2.
Right.
And it turns out to be one of only two photos ever known of Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
And it's valued at $5 million.
That is just amazing.
Which is quite amazing. Then I had a look at the Sony RX1 R2-D2. Launching for Star Wars.
Yeah.
The new movie comes out.
Oh, are you serious?
No, it's called an R2. Yeah. RX1 R2.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is R2. Right. I call it D2 because it just makes it. Yeah. Can it get any more confusing?
made it roll off the
tongue. RX1 R2.
Yeah.
But have you seen what's amazing about this camera, though?
It's pretty much similar to the A7R Mark II. But I can't remember what the difference was.
It's got a variable optical low-pass filter.
That's right. You can switch it on, off, and have an intermediate setting.
Yeah, which is quite amazing. And so you can choose to have a sharper photo, but with moiré effects.
Yep, and color aberration. Yep.
Yeah, or vice versa. Or you can bracket your exposures. It'll do one of each.
Nice.
You can choose afterwards. So that's kind of a good way around it.
Yeah,
I thought it was pretty cool.
And the same 42 megapixel sensor as the
A7R II. It's a sexy little camera, I've got to tell you.
Mm. And comes with a 35mm f2 by default, but it is interchangeable. What?
It's very sweet looking.
It is.
Very, very sweet.
Yeah.
If Mr. Sony's out there listening. And my last one, this is a guy we put him on a list of people we hate because he's got really good ideas.
Oh, okay.
Sunset selfies.
Oh, nice.
And this is guy who's there he is. He's doing these he's doing this, cutting out these cardboard characters.
Yeah.
And then doing selfies of himself at sunset with his characters doing all sorts of stuff. So he's got like bears sneaking up behind him, sharks attacking him, him with a snowman, all sorts of cool stuff.
Having a sword fight with a swordfish.
Yeah, it's just like very clever. And it's like, yeah, I hate you because you're imaginative.
Yeah.
But yeah, good on him.
I love the arm down the throat of the bear.
That's cool.
Oh, very cool.
So some funny stuff. Yeah. There's a one with a stork delivering a baby, but the baby's like a little devil with horns.
Yeah,
he's right. Pointing. No, just down the street.
Nice.
No, his title is No, this is the Damon family. The demons live just up the beach.
Nice.
But he's got some good stuff. So
that's very clever stuff.
Yeah, and then he's showing how he makes them.
Yeah, right.
As well. So which is pretty clever. So
that's a lot of time and effort.
It is. It is. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's got one there of a dolphin jumping through a loop, and the dolphin's got a big splash of water. So it must have thrown a stone. Throwing a stone into the water at just the right spot.
Yeah. That's awesome. This one,
he's throwing rings onto a rhinoceros horn.
Yeah.
Anyway. So
very good, very good.
Some very clever stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that's it. I'm off to go back to work. And then if you're coming to the digital show and you see me, I hope I was nice to you.
yes, because it'll all be over by the time you hear this.
That's right.
Excellent. All right, mate. Well, you have a good weekend.
Will do, mate. Take care.
We'll talk to you next week.
And I'll give you a full show wrap next week.
Excellent. See you, mate.
All right. Oh, Isaac.
What?
This one of him singing to Kermit who's playing a guitar.
Sorry?
This one of him playing guitar sitting next to Kermit playing a guitar.
Oh, really?
Sunset selfie. That's very clever.
Awesome.
Rainbow connection. Bye.
See you, mate.
Shutters Inc. Another audio2u.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.